This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. And it's warm. And I don't mind that a bit. I was talking to a lady in the grocery store, my checkout person in the grocery store, and we were talking about how that summer had finally gotten here, and we were talking about how that it's not going to be long before we're going to be complaining about the heat. And then I said, yeah, and I always try to remember that so that I think back. And I say, yeah, but just a couple of months ago, I was so cold. And she said, right. She said, I do that too. So keep reminding myself that I was cold. And now I'm not cold. Although today, it's starting to warm up enough. I don't think we're anywhere near there yet. Because we get in the 90s in Springfield, mid to high 90s, and we're nowhere near cranking up there yet. But it's plenty toasty in my car, especially since, you know, I'm too stubborn to get my air conditioning fixed. So at this point, outside, it's 85 degrees. I would imagine inside, it's at least 90. That's okay, because when it gets to be 95 outside, inside it's going to be over 100. And I will be sweating like crazy. It's good for you. Opens up the pores. Besides which, if I would pass out on the way home, that would probably make a great podcast. Anyways, been a good week. Been able to get some things accomplished this week. Had a little kind of detour this week, because we are in the process of putting in tokenization for credit cards. So now, instead of taking a customer's credit card and running it through the authorization and all that kind of stuff, and then storing an encrypted example or an encrypted version of that credit card, we are going to take the credit card, talk to our credit card provider. The credit card provider is going to give us a token back, a subscription ID, it's called. That has the last four digits of the credit card, but the rest of it's just scrambled. And then from there on out, we're going to just use that. Had an accident here. Police are out here. I'm trying to get... Wow. It's like a bad accident. Hopefully everyone's okay. But yeah, there's emergency responders and a fire truck, and this is going to be very excited. People turning left around the fire truck and can't see, and we may just have ourselves another accident. Anyways, took a detour from my other big job project that I'm working on. That kind of chewed up a couple of days. Getting that done. It's our turn to go. Wave at the policeman. Always wave at the policeman. I'm friendly. I know you're an authority figure. I will wave to you and say hello. Anyways, so that was fine. And then the last 2 days, I've been poring over the statements that we send out to missionaries, trying to figure out if there's a better way we can display the information, help missionaries understand it better. Got that done today, and was actually able to run it by one missionary who helps on the technical staff, and he had some really good suggestions. And it's going to fall on him to explain it if we actually do it this way. So obviously we'll be listening for his suggestions and making whatever alterations we need to on that. On Monday, I'll get started actually trying to produce one of these statements, because I think we're going to have to be able to produce it to where we can actually really tweak it once we get into the build phase. I'm not technically supposed to be building things at this point, but it's going to be really hard to design this statement without having something that people can run and look at. So, you know. Anyways. So that will all be very exciting. What else? In other news, we've had a guest staying with us this past week. She stayed with us before. She's working on her doctorate, and then she also does some consulting gigs when she's in town. And so whenever she's in town, she just comes and sets up camp in our basement, in our guest bedroom down there. And so it's always nice to have her there. Always lots of interesting conversations. So she's been with us for a few days, was going to be with us for longer, but she, who has just, is still coming out of all the ramifications of a bout with breast cancer, just found out 2 or 3 weeks ago that in fact her sister has pancreatic cancer, and then it's spread to a different place, several places, and so that obviously has been a big hit for her, and so we had a chance to talk about some of that, and we had a chance to talk about topic today. In other news, before we get on the topic for today, I went ahead and ordered all the books for the beta readers, got all my beta readers in place, had about 32 on the list before I opened it for Facebook, so I only needed, you know, another handful, and they went quick. Thankfully, I had some people on the list who were going to be sharing books, enough that I actually ended up, I think, all told with 44 on the list, and I'm going to use every single one of them, so I went ahead and ordered them last Friday? Be the 22nd. No, Sunday. Maybe it was Sunday. They still haven't been printed. So if it does, they don't get printed tomorrow, I'm going to have to send a little note and say, hey, because they're supposed to be printed and sent and arrive to me on July the 2nd. Maybe this lightning press thing in createspace.com is getting more and more popular, so it's getting longer to actually get bulk orders done. The one-offs that I do for proofs and stuff, they get done pretty quickly, but maybe they get bounced to the head of the line. Anyway, so that's all fine. Working on that. I've spent the week matching up nursery rhymes to the rest of the 23 books in this series. And, of course, it's just a tentative matching. Everything will change once I actually get in and start writing these things. This is going to be so interesting. So interesting. Sometimes when I've made changes to programs and then I'm waiting for them to run, sometimes I just wish I could hop into the future and know whether they're going to run well or not. And sometimes there's a part of me that you could just wish I could just hop into the future and see all of these books done. But you know, if you can do that, you deny yourself the process. The process is so important. The process of grinding through it and making things work and trying to keep track of all the details that there will be in these books. And sooner or later, I'm going to miss a detail. I have already started a database with the different characters and salient facts that we learn about those characters in each of the in the first book, so that as I'm going on, I can just keep adding to those facts and have something that I can refer back to, because too many details. There just will be too many. So it'll be fun. Anyways. So the topic today is the topic that I weenied out on last week, that I bailed on. And this is a topic that no matter what you say about it, somebody, if it was exposed to the masses, somebody would be unhappy about something. And probably extremely unhappy about something, because this thing is so loaded with cultural culturally based viewpoints and mindset based viewpoints, there's just not any way to talk about it without the masses dissecting every little piece and reacting severely to something that is taken out of context. So, honestly, the only reason that I feel comfortable talking about this, as comfortable as I feel, which is not extremely comfortable, but the only reason that I feel even moderately comfortable talking about this is because barely anybody listens to it. But yes. So, I know this is just going to get buried into the great morass of noise that there is out on the internet, and that will be that. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't even do the topic. Because it doesn't matter where my heart is at, the fact is, I do have a certain culturally and gender-based mindset, and the claim can easily be laid, you just don't understand, and that's true, but I think there are some principles that are basic and true. And I've touched on the things that I think are basic and true in several other podcasts, so this isn't going to be entirely new. Really, this whole track for me started years ago when I had some friends who wrote me, and I can't remember whether it was the husband or the wife had walked in on their teenage son, who was in the process, I think, of viewing some pornography and masturbating. And of course, there was great embarrassment all the way around. And they wrote me and said, "What do you think about all of this?" And that started me really thinking and trying to put into words how I felt about that and how I would approach that if I was raising a young man, which I have never done. I have since shared my viewpoints with others, and in fact, in one situation, shared with a father my viewpoints, and he then subsequently went and had a heart-to-heart with his, I think he was 13 at the time, his 13-year-old son. And it was, from what he reported later, a very good heart-to-heart. In fact, his son said, "Yeah, I wasn't sure what was wrong with me, and I didn't know why, you know, I was having these feelings," and, you know. And so he was able to speak to his son and speak openly with his son about the very natural causes of some of those feelings and some of those urges, as well as the unprofitable approach of allowing those feelings and urges to push you into pornography. And the crux, the basic idea of it, is that we as men are designed to do one thing. We are designed to create and expel. I should have said before I started this podcast that this is going to be earthy. So if you are offended by that, you should stop listening right now. Fair warning, give you 5 seconds to stop the recorder. Okay. That we as men are designed to create and eject sperm, that there's a whole raft of hormones that are created within us to make us desire to do that. And if we do not deal with that in one way or another, it will lead to our destruction. We don't teach that to our young Christian men. And because of that, we not only have young Christian men who are getting bound up in pornography, we have old preachers who are getting bound up in pornography because they haven't been given the very simple truth that making sperm and ejecting sperm is not evil. What goes along with that, and which is also part and parcel of the whole experience of being a man, big bump. They're doing some road work on a bridge out here. Is that the flesh will take that very simple, natural thing and then will twist it around and come up with a proposition that the purpose of women is to serve as tools to help a man control his sperm count. Nothing could be farther from the truth. And that basic lie underlays all of the horrific things that go on in our world in terms of the way men treat women. Case in point, several weeks ago, I don't remember exactly when, several weeks ago, there was a young man out in California who made a terrible video, and vowed that women who he considered to be, his words, not mine, and obviously unkind words, blonde sorority sluts, that they had to die because they weren't paying him enough attention. Which, of course, is ridiculous. And is only fueled by the idea that my sperm count and the urges that I get from my sperm count are, in fact, not my responsibility. They are someone else's responsibility. Specifically, they are women's responsibility, which is ridiculous. And growing out of that first basic proposition then comes a whole host of other propositions, because the base mindset of someone who is looking to someone else to help them with their basic functionality of their body is someone who pretty much agree that someone needs to pay attention to me, someone needs to chew my food for me, someone needs to burp me, someone needs to change me. It's a very childish attitude that my life cannot be fulfilled unless there is some external force, external person, external entity who can fill in those missing pieces and cause my life to be full and enjoyable. And sadly enough, of course, this young man dwelt on his lack for so long and allowed his flesh to stir up so much vitriol in his spirit that he decided that he would go and he would get those blankety-blanks, you know, one more chance to pay attention to him. And if they didn't, then he was just going to kill them all. Okay, well, the particular sorority that he was targeting, they didn't open the door. So they escaped. But nonetheless, what, six people were killed and seven others were injured. It was terrible, terrible. Well, in response to all that, and this is where we, because up to this point, I'm sure no one would be unhappy about anything I've said. Well, in response to that, a hashtag was formed on Twitter called Yes All Women. And under that hashtag, women shared how men have abused them, marginalized them, emotionally, physically, etc., etc., etc. Some terrible stories. And certain men who have read those have actually said, you know, I've been concerned about my daughter, and now I see I really need to talk to my boys. Okay, that's good. Yes, yes, you need to talk to your boys. You absolutely need to talk to your boys, and you need to raise them such that, I'm getting my mail, you need to raise them such that they understand that women do not exist for men to control their sperm counts. Women exist to live their own lives and to explore life and to pursue their own destinies and their epics and their adventures, to find who they are and to become, through their own efforts and disciplines and creativity, to become who they truly are. In addition to that, and this is where some people will start getting upset, is it was fascinating to me to read all of this because I understood intellectually the female base viewpoint on life. I'm backing into my garage. But in reading this, it really solidified a lot of things in my mind. I pride myself on being able to write believable female characters. In fact, normally the majority of my beta readers are feminine. And I have yet to have any of my beta readers, male or female, write me with a criticism along the lines, your female characters are not believable. They're not real women. No one has ever said that. And I take a certain pride in that because having grown up overseas, I understand the differences in cultural viewpoints, and I've been able to map that allowance that there are different cultural viewpoints, competing and yet equally valid, into the huge gender-based cultural viewpoints between men and women, and actually been able to find formulas so that I can write characters who are female, who are real female characters. What was added to me as I was reading through all the Yes, All Women thing and reading through those blogs, what really impressed me, and I utilized some of it in Windfall 1, and by impressed, I don't mean I thought it was a good thing. It just made an impression on me. What really impressed me was the pervasive echoing of fear. That day in, day out, that these women expressed that there is this constant gnaw of fear underneath. Now, I do have to say that even as I am out in the world, there are things that cause me to be more cautious, that cause me to have a question about my own personal safety. I have, over the years, made a considerable effort to pursue a path which which causes me to face those fears. For instance, I've talked lots about saying hello to people on the street. I've related being out in San Jose and my brother saying, wow, so your hotel's all the way down there in the center of the city. Yep, it is. I don't know that I'd rent a room down there, and getting up the next day and needing to do my laundry. And so packing it into my bag and going down and finding out that there was a laundromat just around the corner and walking out onto the street. And sure enough, lots of Latinos around, sure enough, approached by a guy who was really rough looking. Well, I mean, he was clean and everything, but I mean, you know, had this look on his face like, "Rrr." And as soon as he got near, you know, smiled at him and I said, "How are you today, sir?" And he looked up and he said, "I'm good, I'm good." And it was great. Walk into a laundromat where I was the only white face in that laundromat and everybody was looking at me, sitting there with my little computer and looking up from time to time and someone staring at me and nodding at them and smiling and having them kind of unexpectedly look away. Didn't have any troubles, got my laundry done, got back home. Certainly those were environments where if I had allowed this fear to be generated, I can understand living in a pervasive environment of fear. But I do know that as a basic truth of life, living in a pervasive environment of fear is not mentally healthy. And I do believe that there is in this life answers, true answers. And that there is a way in this life for us to live a quality life. And I do believe that the mechanisms for living a quality life are within us, and they are not external to us. So whatever we face in life, there is always, in my mind, a positive step that we can take without changing the external environment. There is a positive step that we can take to change our internal environment to make our lives qualitatively better. That's not to say that our lives may not have pain. That's not to say that our lives may not have violation. But ultimately, the things that happen to us do not define us. We define ourselves in the light of those things. And I say that as someone who has definitely lived an abundant, wonderful life. But I have also been through divorce. And that experience was something that could have been a soul-killing experience. But I am on the other side of it. And I am good friends with my first wife. I hold no ill will towards her whatsoever. My daughter holds no ill will towards her, nor should she. And we have been able to maintain quality relationships in spite of what was a traumatic emotional experience. So it's not like I haven't had any pain in my life. And I know some will say, "Well, you just don't understand." Okay. Everyone's entitled to their own viewpoint. And that's why I said it really doesn't matter what I say on some of these things. There are going to be some people who are just going to be extremely opposed to anything that might sound like women bear some responsibility for the quality of their lives. Because one of the things that came out over and over and over and over and over and over and over again in this Yes, All Women is that life should be different. That something is wrong in the external world, which it is. It definitely is. I'm not claiming that it's not. And that the only solution to the problems in the external world is for the external world to change. And for us to fix this in the external world. And if we would all just try hard enough, we could fix this. While I agree that the external world could be better, And I am all for fathers and mothers teaching their sons respect, teaching their sons about their basic biology, teaching their sons that it is a lie and it is cruel and it is inhumane to believe that women only exist as tools to control sperm count. While I agree with all that, and I am certainly doing my part in every conversation that gets around to this topic to address that issue, I also believe that individually, until the world changes, that there is also always some path to make survivability and the environment of our lives better by changing ourselves internally. And so as I've been thinking about this over the last couple of weeks, you know, I've kind of been looking around and I've kind of been saying, okay, so what is that internal mechanism? What is the potential there? What is something that's going to work? And while there are probably many things that can work, and certainly I think even some of the approaches that I have taken myself could work, I think there's one thing that does appear to work and work well. Because bound up in this environment of our society, in our importance of look, bound up in this desire that many, many women have to be attractive, setting aside what is probably the underlying reason that women wish to be attractive, and the double-edged sword that attractiveness is, because you're trying to attract the person who's going to make your life better, but instead of it, attraction working like a narrow caste entity that you can just pinpoint and say, I want to be that person to be attracted to me. Of course, it's a broadcast entity. And so you vacuum up all this attraction from others that you don't want to be attracted to you. And you know, honestly, sometimes women seem to believe that they can control their attractiveness, that as soon as someone comes up that they don't want to be attracted to, they can just say, no, I'm not attracted to you, forget it, and that attraction is just supposed to stop then somehow. So, I mean, setting aside all of that, what are potential mechanisms that can work internally for women to deal with the world as it is? And I have confirmed this with a young mother who happens to be engaged in this activity. And I confirmed this with our friend who was staying with us. And I came across this because I just felt like one day I should get on the internet and get on YouTube and just type CrossFit women. And it was a real eye-opener. CrossFit, for those of you who don't know, is a calisthenics program, a lot of body weight stuff where you're doing normal calisthenics, but it's, I mean, they go after it. And I meet with a young couple on Saturday mornings. They're both into CrossFit. I actually, because I know her well enough, was able to tell her this, but one of the reasons that I'm doing calisthenics myself now and doing planks and besides just my aerobic exercising is because one day when it was cooler, she was wearing tights and a shirt, and I happened to glance down and look at her quadriceps, and they were thicker and more ripped than mine are. And I told her later, I said, you shamed me. I said, I looked down and I thought, good night. And she laughed and she said, oh, she said, it's genetics. And she rattled off what she meant by that. But she said, you know, I muscle up quickly. She didn't look like a bodybuilder. She's very lean, very taunt, but she's ripped. And I would not say that to someone that I did not know well. But we got to talking about this idea of becoming strong. And she has a t-shirt that she wears occasionally that says, "Strong is the new skinny." And I heartily agree with that. And as I was listening to these CrossFit women talk about how long they had been in CrossFit and how they, you know, had all the same body issues that women in our society do. My butt's too big. My butt's not big enough. You know, I'm too skinny. I'm too fat. You know, my blah, 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 blah. All of them said, "Yeah, I used to go through all that stuff." And then they get in and they start working on their bodies and they start making themselves strong and doing deadlifts and doing, you know, all the calisthenics that they do in CrossFit and pull-ups and push-ups and all that kind of stuff. And they keep getting better and better and stronger and stronger. And they said to a person, "When I look in the mirror at myself now, I like who I see." And they said, you know, women will sometimes think, "Oh, but, you know, a man doesn't want a woman who's ripped, whose muscles are showing." And the women were saying, you know, "We have boyfriends and, you know, we'll have men come up to us and say, 'Wow, you're in really good shape.'" And, you know, they take that as a compliment and it doesn't create an environment of fear within them. And they're living lives and they are far more confident now because they have been able to achieve this than they were before they started CrossFit. And so that's very interesting to me. And so while it is true that our society needs to change, I do think as well that there are approaches that could be taken to ameliorate some of that constant gnawing fear that half of our population live under. And anything that can ameliorate that, as far as I'm concerned, is a good thing. Because I just don't see how much good can come out of living in a constant state of fear and turmoil. That's just something the flesh is going to take and lead people to destruction. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.